you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Psalm 8, verse 1.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. That was Psalm 8, verse 1.
O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, October 17th, 2025.
We're excited to dive into Psalm 8 today. We talked about it a bit last week on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And if you missed that program, I think you'll be encouraged and blessed by our conversation as facilitated by Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church here in Springfield. But you can access that program at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But we gave an overview, some insights into King David, who began as a shepherd, discarded by his brothers and maybe his family as not somebody that was going to make it big in the world. Well, God had other plans, and we talked about that a little bit. Don't ever minimize the impact that you can have for the kingdom of God because of your circumstance or situation. God is incredibly, divinely installed in you gifts and abilities and tendencies and characteristics to model to a hurting world his goodness, his care, his grace, and he loves to work through sometimes what we might consider the insignificant or the child or somebody that maybe isn't all successful or that great. He uses all of us, and I think through today's program, you're going to learn how he wants to use you and how he cares for you. But Psalm 8 was penned and written by King David, and it's a fascinating look at the life of how he loved God and majestically sought after him. But Mark, you had said we should begin with a little wrap-up of last week, asking a few questions, because we talked about King David and being a man after God's own heart, but there's a lot in the psalm that we're going to look at today. It covers 9 verses.
Right. Mark, thank you for asking. I think that as we look at this psalm, one of the things that we've got to ask is, what is it saying to us about the nature of David and the nature of God? And the question I'd like to ask everybody in this room right now is, what are the things that happen in people's lives or opinions that they take on that keep people from seeing God as a loving Father?
Well, why do bad things happen to me? Why did this happen in the world? Things like terrible disasters or personal small things that set you going the wrong direction.
Okay. Anybody else?
That's about right, I think. On a macro level, you see earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. And then on a personal level, you see the personal tragedy. You look at Charlie Kirk getting assassinated at 31 or Bodie Bauckham dying at 56. We knew every man's time is appointed. So those of us in the know, we just accept it and move on. But to minister to others, it's a little harder.
Yeah, how can a loving God allow these things to happen?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Mark, I think that if we don't know the full nature of God, then it's easy for us to pick up the wrong nature from those around us.
Good. Those are great questions, and they're big questions. And what they come down to is this idea that everything should be just. Everything should be good. Everything should be as I understand it should be. And it's a dismissal of the fact that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has walked in rebellion to God, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And bad things happen in this world. God promises to be with us through every bad thing, to help us overcome, and he calls the church to be the light of the world. So you think of earthquakes, we think of the things that take place that are disasters. The church should be the first one on hand. The church should be the one there bringing light to the darkness. We think of injustice in the world. We think of the things that take place in the world. The voice of the church should be the voice of righteousness. You mentioned Charlie Kirk And I saw this woman that was very extreme in her viewpoints, and she had made a bumper sticker for her car that said, "Make assassinations great again."
No.
Well, that is a corruption of the nature of man.
Right.
The nature of man should have empathy for the hurting. There should be empathy for this mother and her children, whether I agree with Charlie Kirk or disagree with him. It should be natural empathy. I can't think of anyone in my life that strongly disagrees with me that I would celebrate their death.
Right.
That is a corruption of the nature of man in us. And so all of those things do get in the way of people seeing. But there's great evidence that God is real, and God promises us that the injustice that we see today is temporary, and the hope of heaven and the hope of a just world is before us, and it all comes through Christ. So you look at this first verse, and there's two fundamental things here. Great fundamental truths happen in this first verse. One, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. So here it is. He's Lord. Even in a fallen world, I'm called to follow him as Lord. And in the things that happen in this world, I am called to trust that he will help me walk through every one of them. But then he says, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is a second fundamental understanding of what God says to us. So let's go a little bit farther and look in Psalm 19. It speaks to this again. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. The voice goes out to all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. Here's a fundamental truth. Nature itself reveals the glory of God. All of nature that we walk in, it shouts to us. It cries to us. Look at how God has provided for us. We drive by the cornfields of central Illinois, and we see the mass of those cornfields, and we know these things go to feed people and feed us around the world and meet the needs of the world. We see the oceans. We see all these. They represent the glory of God. That's repeated in Romans. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for his invisible attributes, what we can't see about God, says, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. This is a fundamental argument of God to us. You see me in my creation. You see me in the stars. You see me in the greatness of the universe. You see me. So you are without excuse. This is what David was writing. He's saying, look, all the earth proclaims your name. All the earth shouts to your glory. All I've got to do is look up and see it. Now, the enemy comes to blind the eye of the unbeliever. He comes to fill our minds with lies. So, what is the call of the Christian, I would say then, to speak to the blindness of the world? Anybody have a thought on that?
Some folks, when they're going through a tough time, will say, well, where was God? Including Christians.
Yeah.
The analogy that I would have is, say you're in college and you class every day, you're taking notes and you're studying, and you come to the finals. And the finals in the test room is just you and a booklet. The teacher's not there anymore. But basically, the teacher's there because his or her knowledge is in your head. Same thing with God. When you're going through a trial, he's there. He's just not showing himself to you because you're supposed to walk through that valley knowing that he's there and he will be with you through it all because you promised. And because you promised so many times in the scriptures, we believe it and we will walk in that knowledge.
Bernie, I think one of the things that you're speaking to is very, very true. As a Christian, I go back to the first part of this verse. Lord, our Lord, he is my Lord, whatever I'm going through.
Right.
Now, the testimony to the world, one of the testimonies of the world, is when the Christian doesn't fall apart in the middle of tragedy.
Right.
When the voice of righteousness and faith is still strong in the midst of the suffering of the world. Part of the testimony to the world should be how the Christian responds to the tragedies of the world.
Right.
And we show the love of Christ and we do the work of God. We give to help others. We reach out to do something to feed the hungry or to take care of those going through disaster. But God says, look, all around you is my voice. where did this earth come? Where did the beauty of the flower come from? Where did the oceans come from? Where did the stars come from? And man tries to make up some reason for that, that they say is of natural origin. But what is the force of all that natural origin?
Right.
There's a divine creator. And God says, look, when you stand before me, you're going to sit and say, how did I miss you? Now, the Christian should live faithfully in the midst of a deep trial. And the Christian should pray for the unbeliever. I cannot pray, God, make my children live for you. My children have free will. I can pray, God, show yourself to my children. Reveal your wisdom to my children. Let me live in front of them so they will see you and want you.
Right.
So that they will come and follow you as well, and the blinds will be taken off of their eyes.
Now, Pastor Mark, I don't know if this was brought up last week, and if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or missed last week, you can access it at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But this first verse, O Lord, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, followed by R, capital L, lowercase ORD. So it seems like David was using a certain term for O Lord, our Lord. I think when it's all caps, it's maybe the Yahweh or something. There's a difference in the two spellings of Lord.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is, Mark. I would just say it's Lord. Fundamentally, foundational for my life is I come before him as my Lord. Hmm. I come before him as the one who's in control of my life.
Yeah.
So someone loses somebody that they love, and they want to say, I'm angry at God. No, God is my Lord. Mm-hmm. I have hope for eternity because of God. Mm-hmm. I am brokenhearted over my loss, and I depend upon him to be my comfort. But I don't have this right to come and blame God and be mm-hmm. mad and angry at God. Mm-hmm. That's not in the right of someone who's under the lordship of God.
I know last week when our program ended, we had a lot of discussion on verse 2. Out of your mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes. And then it goes on to still the enemy and the avenger. And it was kind of interesting as we talked about the childlike faith that David had, the innocence when he looked towards God, whether he was quick to repent or see his sin or shortfalls or his other dependence on God. And yet we had some interesting conversations about how this verse also Jesus quoted.
Yes.
A portion of this verse.
If you see the triumphal entry, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. It's, of course, before his crucifixion. And the people are throwing palm branches at his feet. They're putting their cloaks on the ground. He's riding it on a donkey. And they are crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. He gets into Jerusalem. And we have a tendency to kind of miss this part. We kind of tie it all together because some of the other expressions of that story don't cover everything that happens next. He comes into Jerusalem, and he chases the money changers out of the temple. Mm-hmm. And then the Bible says he does these miracles. He heals people. Dramatic, dramatic miracles take place that could only be done by God. They are a testimony to the power of God, an affirmation that Jesus is the Messiah. And there are children and people in the temple crying out, Hosanna to the Son of God, Hosanna to the Messiah. And the Pharisees, the wise, the religious, the smart people, the powerful people, come to Jesus and go, you need to shut them up. They don't even see the miracles. They don't even question, how could this be happening? How could he heal the blind? How could he do these things? You need to shut them up. And Jesus quotes this verse. He quotes this verse and says, no, out of the mouths of babes, I'm going to ordain praise. That out of the lives of the weak, out of the lives of the normal guy, I'm going to ordain praise. And it's going to confound even the wise. And he says, no, this is what's going to happen. It was ordained on that day for people to praise God. But he quotes this verse because most of us that follow God, you know, we don't walk in the halls of great power. We don't have great authority in this world. We may not even have great riches in this world. We may not even be great business owners in this world. We're just people living our lives and following after God. And yet God's going to reveal himself to us that we will praise him and the world will say, you guys need to shut up. That isn't truth. He's not really that anymore. And God says, no, they're going to keep praising me. Mm. And that's what we should do.
I love these next two verses, 3 and 4. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. And this part, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? And in this case, man or woman or boy or child, the fact that God is mindful of us and that he cares for us is almost too incredible to understand or accept.
You know, David's looking into the heavens, probably as a kid out, you know, watching the sheep. And he has limited view. He doesn't have binoculars. He's just looking into the sky. And he's amazed at what he sees, that God would talk to us. So think about this. Scientists tell us today that there are more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on the earth. Think about that. Think about the great distance of that. Think about the massiveness of all of that. God says, I put all of that before you to give your little teeny minds a little bit of comprehension of my greatness. Can you fathom that? Well, I can't fathom that. And yet he's in all of it. He controls all of it. It's all there because he put it there. This is the God we're dealing with. We're dealing with a God that's not three steps above us. He's so far above us we can't comprehend him.
I think they said, is it 2 billion solar systems? Even one solar system we can't get our minds around, but it's something like 2 billion solar systems. You can't even fathom it because one is bigger than we can even think about. Anyways,
if you look at some of the features of from the Hubble telescope, they're amazing because you can't fathom it.
Right. That's what God's saying. You can't fathom my greatness.
Yeah.
So don't try to figure every little thing out. Trust me.
Right.
Have that childlike faith. Believe in me. You know, but we talked about David with childlike faith. So he goes down to face Goliath, and all these warriors are there, and they're looking at this giant, and they're going, I want no part of that. And David goes, God's bigger than he is. God's greater than that. I'll go down. I think God wants me to go down there and take care of this.
Yeah.
I'll just go take care of this. That's the childlike faith of David.
It says something about David, who is immersed in the sky, and he's just so spontaneous. And the capital letters things, I think he's just crying out. Don't we find ourselves going, oh, Lord, it's in capital letters. And then you go, oh, dear Lord, after you exclaim, it's like in a screenplay, if they're capital letters, they speak loudly. It's emphasized.
I think the Hebrew has the answer for that. Oh, Lord, my Lord. The first one is Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in the Hebrew. And the second one is Adonai, my Lord, like Jesus is our Lord. So the Hebrew actually has the answer for those two things.
Well, Pastor Mark, as somebody's driving to work today, maybe somebody's a shut-in, has to stay home, can't get out, maybe somebody's incarcerated, or somebody maybe who hasn't even begun the faith journey, what in Psalm 8 would be helpful for them to know, or what might God be saying to them?
I think as you look at the life of David, you see a man that, as flawed as he was a man who loved God. He was a man who faced his flaws and submitted them to God and cried out to God for help. I think this tells us about a relationship with God that we get to have. Every person, wherever you're at in life, whatever you're going through in life, someone may be listening today that's just found out that their spouse is having an affair, and they wonder, how am I going to get through this? Somebody may have just gotten a call from a doctor. How am I going to get through this? Somebody may be facing some financial crisis. How am I going to get through this? This great God who puts the stars in the sky, David stands amazed that that God pays attention to him. And it's a verse for us to say, God pays attention to you. He knows your name. He knows your circumstances. You're not going to take any information to him today and him go, oh, I didn't know that was going on. I didn't know that was happening. But he gives us the right to bring our hurts, to bring our concerns, to bring our fears. What I have found in the Psalms when I read it is there are many, many times when I bring a fear, a worry, a God, what am I going to do next? And I don't necessarily get an answer in that moment, but I get the assurance of God's presence in that moment that the answer will come in time. And instead of walking in fear, I can walk in faith, knowing God's got this. Mm-hmm. I can rest in that because His presence is there. He pays attention to us. His Spirit is with us. And so if you're listening today, you're going through a trial, I would tell you, make sure you look at God as your Lord. Submit yourself to Him and say, I recognize You to be the Lord of my life. I recognize Jesus to be the one who came to save my soul. And I ask You to be the Lord of my life. And I ask You to guide me through my life every day. And God will do that for that person who cries out to Him.
Amen. I just wrote down, be amazed, God still loves those that are flawed. I think that will be the title of today's broadcast. If you missed a portion of it, you can access it anytime at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. God does, in fact, love you. And if you have questions about what does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, can He be my Savior? Is God's Word inspired? Can it lead me to God and a relationship with Jesus? You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. There's trained counselors that would love to talk with you about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But better yet, get into one of the local churches in the area where they lift high the name of Jesus and they divide God's Word each and every Sunday. And I think you'll be really blessed as God's Word teaches us that we should assemble together. So find a good church. Talk with the pastor afterwards about having a relationship with Jesus, and it'll be the best decision you've ever made. And for you senior saints, be praying for all those that are tuned in today that may have questions about, can I have a relationship with God? What does it mean that Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Because your prayers will make a difference for all eternity. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mark Johnson and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.
Amen.